while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, PHBC family. Good to be here with you all again. I feel like I'm here quite often, actually. If you haven't done so already, just ask the person next to you, how are you today? Oh, that was really quick. How are you? I'm fine. Okay, good. That's it. Got a room full of introverts, yeah? That's what's going on. Okay. So, the title, Remember Who I Am. Today I just want to talk to you. Around this time last year, I found myself in a hospital appointment with my mum, my uncle, and my uncle's partner. We were there because my uncle had been diagnosed with cancer a couple of months before that. He had gone into chemotherapy, and the chemo was working really well. He was going home still and doing the things he usually did. And after some time, the chemotherapy wasn't really going well for him. He just didn't start to feel himself anymore. And so he went back to the hospital, and they'd done a few scans, and we had an appointment. So this was the appointment that we was in. And basically, the consultant said that during your chemotherapy, the cancer has grown during that time. She said it's aggressive, it's an aggressive one. And so basically what she said is, we can give you things to manage the pain, and yeah, you haven't got too long to live. And I remember everybody's reaction. I remember my uncle just trying to keep it together. And I remember just being like, no, God. I was like, the consultant's words cannot be the final word. And I was numb, and I was upset. I was, as you can imagine, I was feeling is how I was feeling. But I just had this confidence that God is going to heal my uncle. And I just wasn't entertaining any other thought that he's not going to do it. And I remember even speaking to Pastor Deji, and I was just like, this is what they've said, but no, it's not going to happen. I'm trusting in God. I've got faith in God. And I've realized that there's been cancer down the family line, and this is where it ends. I prayed against it, and I'm sure that God is going to heal my uncle. Also, my mum, it was only my mum and my uncle left because my grandparents had also passed away as well. So now it was just them two left. And I was like, God, surely you wouldn't allow my mum to go through that and be the only one left from her family. And so about 2 weeks after that, I found myself in hospital again. This time I was with my mum, my two sisters, my brother, and my dad. And my uncle was there, but he was laying on the bed and he had passed away. And I remember just feeling so upset, so hurt, so shocked. I couldn't even bear to think what my mum was going through at the time. And later on, two of his four children came, and his partner came, and that's when it was just all too much for me. And yeah, I was just like, wow, this has really just happened. And for a while, I was very dishonest with God. I would pray to him. I would never bring up the situation, and if I did, it was to just say, oh God, can you please strengthen my mum or strengthen his children and comfort them and bring them peace. And I found that I wasn't talking to God how I usually spoke to him anymore. Do you know when someone's done something to upset you and you don't really address it, but you're still talking to them, but you can tell that it's a bit funny, And so that's how I was talking to God. I just kind of stopped talking to him how I usually would. And when that tends to happen, I tend to write down how I'm feeling. And so I started to write out a prayer, and I just started going through the just silly stuff. And then eventually I just kind of wrote, God, I'm so upset with you. And that's when it all came out. How did this happen? Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you heal my uncle? Why would you allow my mom to go through this? Like, I trusted you. I thought that you was going to heal him. And I know that you're good, but this doesn't feel good. And I was hurt. I was hurt, and I was upset with God, and I didn't want to talk to him. I wanted to stay away from him for a while. And this wasn't the first time we'd experienced loss in the family. But I think this was the first time I was just really confident that God was going to heal him. I was just like, yeah, like God's going to do this. And so when it didn't happen, I just didn't really know what to do. And I'm sure some of you have been in that position before as well. And so my question to you all today is, what is your response to God when you're feeling disappointed? Do you cry out to him or do you avoid him? And I've chosen to focus on Psalm 77 today because it's one of those really kind of raw, real, honest psalms where we can see the kind of journey from despair to hope, that journey that the psalmist takes. And I just hope that as we journey through this together, that you will hear God speaking to you about what he wants to speak to you about. A bit of context before I move on. The psalm was written by Asaph, who he was a musician and a chief worshipper in the time of King David. And so Asaph is kind of lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of Israel. And so he starts the psalm by saying, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me when I was in distress. I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. And I think the thing that the psalmist got right that I kind of got wrong is that in distress, his first thing was to cry out to God. Mine was to hide everything from God. I don't want to talk to you how I used to, God. I just want to hide how I'm feeling with you. And so when I read verse 1 to 3, I felt really kind of moved to talk to those of us here who find it very hard to cry out to God. Some people can do that easily. They can just offload really easily. They can cry out to God, tell him everything that they're feeling. Some of us find it extremely hard to do that. Even if we want to, we find it hard. And that could be because of various reasons. Maybe you're the one that's always the strong one. You're always the one that's got it together. And so when it's time to break down, you don't know how to do it because there's been that expectation of you for such a long time. Some of us have been brought up just to get on with things. Something's upset you, okay, just keep it moving. Why are you upset? It is life. Keep going. And so you feel like your emotions, there's no need to express them. Who cares? Some of us, our emotions were never validated, and we feel like there's no space for that. Maybe some of you were open and you was vulnerable with somebody, and they completely just broke your trust. And you made a promise that you will never allow that to happen again, and unconsciously, that also includes God. And I just want to say, if that is you, that from experience, there is no safer place than to sit before God and to offload everything and to tell him where you're at. God will never mock you. God will never take your emotions and say that they're silly or he doesn't have time for them. God cares about you as a person. He cares about your emotions. He cares about what you're going through. God will never say you're silly, or God will never turn his back on you when you tell him how you're feeling. He's given you emotions, and he knows that in life there are going to be things that are hard to go through, and he wants you to pour out to him. I remember being about 5 years ago, I went on a retreat, a young adults retreat with the church that I was at previously, and one of the leaders came up to me and she said, I really feel like God is saying to you that he wants you to be vulnerable with him. And I knew what that meant because I was someone who had so many walls up. If you would never know what I'm feeling or how I am. And if I get upset, I'm never going to share that with anybody. And that was really affecting my relationship with God because I was doing the same with him. And she said, I really feel like God is saying, I need you to be vulnerable with me. And that's been a journey. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. It's been a journey learning how to be vulnerable with God and how to trust him with what I was going through. And so again, if that is you and you're finding it really hard to just be open with God, it's just a simple prayer. Lord, help me to be vulnerable with you. And when I think back, another reason why I wanted to avoid God is because avoiding God meant I got to avoid how I was feeling. It meant I got to push away negative emotions and never address it. And the definition for that, or what that's known as, is emotional repression. And I've got a definition here. It's all about avoiding emotional suffering. It is a coping style used to hide and push away negative emotions. Emotional repression can be thought of as a defense mechanism, where people defend themselves from the negatives and focus instead on the positive aspects of who they are. I think society is getting a little bit better at it, but there's still this strong belief that negative emotions should be pushed away, or that they're a sign of weakness, or, you know, just get on with it, pack up and get on with it. Don't dwell on the negative. And even in families, again, whether it's intentional or it's not intentional, sometimes we can grow up thinking that we shouldn't show any negative emotions. I had a friend whose mum never cried, and so for my friend, that means strength. To not cry means that you're strong. You don't cry because that would make me weak. But God showed me some time ago that just because you take a negative emotion and you push it to the side does not mean that you've dealt with it. And it doesn't mean that it's gone. And he showed me this image, and I thought I would try and demonstrate it. He showed me an image of soil. And he said, Jazz, the soil is here, and that's you. Anytime an event has happened in the past and it's given you a negative emotion, you've taken that emotion and you thought you buried it. But you didn't bury it at all. What you did is you gave it perfect conditions to grow. You planted that negative emotion. And now it's growing. And now your life is wrapped in that negative emotion that you've left to grow. It's wrapped in anger. It's wrapped in rejection. And everything that you see and everything that you experience is wrapped up in these negative emotions that you didn't deal with, that you planted and now are growing. It's that peace that I've given you, that joy that I've given you, that freedom that I've given you, is being strangled by these negative emotions you didn't deal with. And so very slowly he began to take me back to some things and said, we need to work on that. And that's one of the things I just love about God, is that he wants freedom for you in every single area. It's not just about freedom from sin. It's about freedom in every single area of your life. He wants you to be free from anger. Some of us are walking around so angry we don't even realize it because of things that have happened. And he wants us to be free from that. And you know, there are childhood traumas that have happened, and it's important to highlight that some things do need therapy. You know, and I know Pastor Deji is not someone to say therapy, let's just forget, you don't need it. He's not someone to do that, and that's not something that we believe. Therapy is good. Therapy can be good. So just trust God. Ask him, what needs healing, Lord? What is it that I've buried and that is wrapping itself around what you have given me, the joy and the peace that you have given me? So I thought, well, why, God? What is the point of coming to you with emotions if you already know them? What's the point of pouring out our hearts to you if you already know what we're feeling? And the quote that came to mind is that there's no intimacy without vulnerability. See, God wants us to have a relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him. And that needs to have trust. There needs to be an ongoing conversation with God. And intimacy also means experiencing God. And so when we bring to him what we're going through, when we cry out to him in times of distress, he's able to answer us and to give us peace, and we're able to experience God and to know that, yeah, he is my healer. He is my comforter. He is the one who gave me strength in that moment. And it's how you begin to build a relationship with him. He wants intimacy with us. One of the things that Jesus says is that the thief came only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. This means to be in relationship with God, to be free from bondage and those things that have taken your joy and your peace. He wants you to have life and have it to the full. You know, one of the things as well with when we allow negative emotions to grow and they kind of wrap themselves around our lives is that we then begin to believe the lie that that's our character. Oh, I'm not really emotional, or I just don't respond to things like that, or that stuff doesn't bother me, or, you know, this is just who I am. I just see things in a negative way. I'm just a realist. And we begin to think that that's our character. And when we think it's our character, we think that we don't need any help. So how can God help you if you don't realize that you need help? If you think that's just your character. It's not your character at all. And that's a lie that Satan will have you believe, that this is just who I am. If the character trait that you have doesn't line up with the word of God, then that's not the character trait that God wants you to have. John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. When we build relationship with Christ, when we have intimacy with him, when we offload and tell him what we're going through, we know him. And Jesus says that is eternal life. Eternal life is to know the one and only true God. And so the psalmist was good at crying out to God and saying, this is how I feel. He was open and he asked questions. God, where are you? Where is your goodness? Have you left us? Have you abandoned your promise? And God has space for that. Some of us think we can't go to God with questions. He has space for that. He wants you to come as you are and go with him. Go back and forth about how you're feeling and allow him to answer you and to journey with you. And so verse 3 to 12, it's already been read, but I'm going to read it from verse 9. So after the psalmist has gone through crying out and he said how he's feeling, he's questioning God, he says this, verse 9. As for me, I will declare this forever. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. Bear with me, church. I was reading Psalm 75. There we go. Chapter 77, verse 10. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. So verse 10 is where we have this turning point. It's when he kind of realizes, you know what? I'm in the valley, but just because I'm in the valley doesn't mean that I can't look up at God. And even if you look at the scripture on your page, you will see that there's a noticeable difference. Before verse 10, everything was about him. I cried out. I was in distress. I stretched out untiring hands. I wouldn't be comforted. I remembered. I meditated. I was too troubled. But from this turning point, everything turns towards God. Your ways, God. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power, your mighty arm, your arrows, your thunder, your lightning, your path, your footprints. Everything has become about God. And there's always that time when we're going through things and we have to make a decision to focus on the goodness of God. And that can be so hard when we're going through something. I had a friend who's just come back from Israel, and he said to me, he was there when everything started to get to where it is now. And he said, what God taught me is that it's very different when there's a war going on inside of you and you have control of that. But when there's a war happening around you, you have no control over that. And what he taught me is that you have to fight for peace. Peace has been given to us, but there's situations where you have to fight for that peace. He said fear would start rising up, and he had to pray and say, no, I'm going to take the peace that God has given me. And likewise, there's situations that we'll go through when we're feeling overwhelmed by distress, and we have to choose, I am going to focus on the goodness of God and who he is. And you know, there's a lot more that I could say about Psalm 77, but what I kind of realize is that this is his testimony of journeying from distress to joy. And I wanted to hear voices from other people, all different age groups. Majority of them were actually male. And I asked them, what was the hardest thing you've gone through? And how did you get through it? And so I got 8 responses, and I'm going to read them to you because I believe that personal testimonies are really powerful. Number one, the hardest thing was my parents' divorce when I was 15. What got me through was my newfound faith a couple of years later and friendships I formed making music. This led to having a new tribe, family, in which I could navigate my identity. I had a place of acceptance and belonging that felt safe. My faith reorientated and my place in the world. It helped me to navigate hardships through the lens of a God who suffered for my sake. Someone else said, well, the hardest things I've gone through are my miscarriages. I got through it by acknowledging and talking about my pain, disappointment, and anger at God, and fear of it happening again. Eventually, I experienced God's love for my unborn, a picture of them being with him, and peace and a promise of children which I held him to. I believed I could hold on to God's promise because I decided that either he is a good father who keeps his promises or he's not. And the latter does not bear thinking about. I refuse to dwell on that stubborn faith. Number 3, one of the hardest things I've gone through is losing my brother. I got through it by leaning on God, not necessarily trying to understand, but asking for strength. Fellowship, community, and family, and time reflecting. Leaning on God meant trusting in his sovereignty for me and my family. Spending time with him and carrying out my responsibilities with the youth during that period really helped. Another one, the hardest thing I've ever experienced to date is probably depression. When I was about 30 to 31, I wasn't happy at work. I was finding it very difficult to even want to get up in the morning or get out of bed. I felt like I was being bullied. It was a really dark time. And truthfully, I'm not sure how I got through it. I was fired/quit. I can't honestly say that I relied on God like I should have. I would love to be able to say that I leaned on him, but I didn't. However, my circumstances changed greatly. Things just improved for me from there. My outlook on the world changed, and a lot of confidence that I had lost, I regained. I got a new job that paid a lot more and was much closer to the field that I wanted to be in. However, when I look back on it, I think God was instrumental in changing my circumstances. I also think he was instrumental in providing me with the support from the correct people at the time. I think that was crucial to me surviving that moment. Someone else, one of the hardest things was my divorce, and the hardest thing of that was learning about the affair. The key part was to know that God appreciated my needs and my hurt. Even though at that time I was encouraged by many to forgive and move on, I needed to feel that God really felt the pain I was feeling. Even though I tried really hard to forgive, God said to me, it's okay if you can't do this right now. And so getting through the pain, I focused on him. I lifted him up, and though the circumstances was horrible, I was homeless and I was in the middle of doing my master's and didn't know how I was going to fund it. I had to just lift him up. That's all I knew. I knew that if I lifted him up, if I praised him and worshiped him for what he has done, I would be okay. It was also his word that got me through, like focusing on the Israelites and what God did for them. I learned to worship the majesty of God and exalt him, and that's what helped me through. Another one. The hardest challenge so far is having to accept that someone I knew isn't who I thought they was. It was having to forgive them even though I felt they didn't deserve it. Having to heal and move on past it all. I spoke to someone about it and they were able to give me another perspective. Able to listen and help counsel me through it. I prayed a lot and spoke to God about it. I also asked God to guide me through the pain so that I could heal the way he wants me to. I also write my thoughts and my feelings to help me understand them. And then the final one. I went through a difficult and long season of comparing myself to others, where they were in life, relationships, job level, etc., and also where I wanted myself to be or thought I would be. During the season of comparing, it impacted my motivation to get up in the morning, get out of the house, exercise, attitude at work, patience with other, energy, everything. I got through it with God. I had family and friends praying for me, and I was studying a Christian devotional book, and it reminded me that none of that matters. Everything I was comparing myself to was worldly things. It reminded me that everything will disappear. My purpose has already been decided. I don't need to watch anybody else. All will be in God's timing. It also made me reflect on how far God had brought me and just made me feel love and comfort and realigned my focus and priorities. And when I asked people for them to answer that question, I was really kind of just amazed by the responses, and I just loved how wide they were, because of course I can't cover everything, I haven't experienced everything, and it was just so rich to be able to hear people say what they had gone through and how they got through it. And I just pray that one of those testimonies or something in the word today has touched you in some way or another, or encouraged you in one way or another, that God is there. And God has space for you. God has time for you. And although you might be going through something, going to God doesn't mean it's going to disappear, but it does mean he will journey with you through that and give you what you need as you make that journey from despair to hope.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.